Amen. Is that a good promise to anybody in here? That death is not the end? That if you're in Christ, you don't have to worry about anything. You can know that you can live for eternity in Him. Praise God. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. God is so good. Amen. All our kids can go back to Kingdom Impact Kids. That's going to be fun. Have a great time back there. Today, I want to teach more today than preach to you. I want to teach you sometimes. Sometimes we just need to teach rather than get up here and preach or whatever or preach. I may get there, but my heart is just about teaching today, because today we're going to talk about hurt but healing. Hurt but healing. Whenever you get hurt sometimes by somebody, some people or situations or whatever circumstances, you know, sometimes it's hard to heal from that. And it lasts a long time. And we carry that on and on and on and on. And when we carry that, it makes us weak, it makes us tired, and it really messes with us. And we can't be all that we could be for Christ. But Christ says, by my stripes, you are healed. And we can go from hurt to wholeness in Christ. Matter of fact, Genesis 50 and 20, this is the story of Joseph. When Joseph was, he was head of the territory, and his brothers had threw him in the pit. They tried to kill him. You know, he was in the palace, and then the king's wife said that he tried to rape her and all this. So everybody was just against him. But God kept his hand on him the whole time because he kept faith in God. And in the very end, they came up to Joseph really scared, like, man, I know he's in charge, and he has a right just to tell us to be, you know, for someone just to take us out. And he could if he wanted to. But he said, listen, you intended harm to me, but God had intended it all for the good. He brought me to this position so I could save the life of many people. The enemy, that person that hurt you, those people that hurt you, whatever it may be, however you got hurt, that they and the enemy meant it to destroy you and to break you down. But God says, I'm going to turn it around for your good. I'm going to increase the oil in your life. I'm going to give you peace, and I'm going to help you through it, and it's going to make you stronger. And God's going to use it for your good, for you to become what He's called you to be. And we all have scars, all of us, and scars is just a place of normal skin that has a big wound. And after the wound heals, it leaves a scar over the normal place. And we ask God, why have I got to go through this? Why does this happen to me? God, are you mad at me? What did I do to deserve this? You know, if you really cared about me, you wouldn't let me get hurt like this and all that. But listen, if God took away all the evil out of the world, He would have to take all free will out of the world. And if we take free will out of the world, then we're robots. And since there is free will in the world, people have the choice to do good or bad. And people choose to do bad. Right? And if He just took away all pain and suffering, as some ask, we found out in Jim Carrey's movie about God that when you just answer yes to everything, a lot of bad things can happen. Right? Bruce Almighty, I think it was, and he just said, oh, just yes, give it all to them, you know, whatever they want, you know. And we found out that there's a ripple of repercussions that happens with that. So, and the doctor will tell you that whenever you get cut, the scars don't happen right away. But after things heal, scars happen a lot of times in the future. It may take a while. It doesn't happen all the time right at first. Or even after it heals up, sometimes the scar doesn't come up. But when it comes to sin, a scar sometimes doesn't come up right at the beginning as well, but sin will always leave a scar. Sometimes you can get a little cut that it heals so well, and the doctor does such a good job, it doesn't leave much of a scar. But sin in our lives will always leave a scar. And some people are proud of their scars. You know, gang members, they'll show you their scars where they got stabbed or cut or in a fight or whatever, you know. War vets are really quick to show you, hey man, this right here happened in World War II. You know, this happened in Nam here and so on. Needy people are very quick to show you their scars. Look what happened to me. Oh, poor me, pitiful me. Look what I'm going through. You know, needy people do that a lot. They want to show you their scars you know, and they're proud of those scars and what they've been through. You know, and a normal scar, you can put concealer over it. You can put makeup over it. Whenever I was a teenager and I had pimples, I would use my mom's Mary Kay makeup cover-up. And I would put it on there, you know. And I was like, Mom, I need another color. She's like, why? I said, this won't match my skin. And everybody can know, you know. Because I wasn't going to be one of those kids that put a big old band-aid across her face to cover. I was like, that's just, I'd rather put have a pimple on there than a big old huge band-aid on my face. Sorry. Squirrel. But the scars of sin remain forever. And the thing is that when that happens, you can't cover up that scar. And the only way you could cover it up is with Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ comes into our lives, He is the only way, the only answer to help heal the scars. And then the scars are there for us to remember what He healed. In Proverbs 28:13, He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whosoever confesses and forsakes it shall have mercy. So it says if you're covering your sins up, you're not going to prosper. But if you confess it and forsake it, then God will have mercy on you. But see, consequences always remain. If you study Jesus' resurrected body, there's some really cool things that you think about that. You know, first off, He came and says He ate and drank, right? He had fish, right, with whatever the disciples. So He ate and He drank in His glorified body. So that's kind of cool. That means when we get to heaven, we'll probably get to eat and drink at the marriage supper of the Lamb, right? And so we get to eat and drink. He appeared and disappeared. That's going to be really cool. You know, hey, here I am. Oh, now I'm not. You know, He was even in disguise, and they didn't even recognize Him at times. Okay, so there's some really different things that we find out about His resurrected body. But the one thing that really took me back was out of all that, He had this perfect glorified body. When he came down and talked to Thomas, He still had the nail prints in His hands to signify and to show and to testify of the work of Christ. I love that, even in His body. So, there was a story, a movie that most of you have seen if you're in older generations, you know, 80s or 90s or 70s or 60s even probably, or 80s. Jaws. You probably saw Jaws. There were three men in there, and they were all sitting around. They were all drunk, and they were sitting there, and they shared, they were sharing war stories. One man talked about how he was in a war, and he showed he was showing where he got stabbed at in a war. The other man that was in on the boat, he showed where he got a shark attack. And he says, man, look right here. This is a shark attack, a previous shark attack. And then Richard Dreyfuss was the other guy. Richard Dreyfuss ripped his shirt open and didn't say nothing. And they're like, what happened? Did you have open heart surgery? He said, no. And he pointed to his heart. He said, Betty Sue, seventh grade, broke my heart. You know, so the thing is that some scars are visible, but most of your scars are invisible. It's kind of like mental health. You know, people can see, you know, you're disabled. Well, you don't look disabled to me, but they don't know what's going on in here, right? And so the same way with scars, you don't look like you've been through a lot, but you don't know what's happened in my heart. My heart is scarred up. And so we have to understand that. And then a lot of times we deal with uninvited scars. It's not something that we did. It's not something that we went out and did something stupid and rode a bike and fell and jumped cliffs and did crazy stuff that caused scars. Sometimes we have uninvited scars. Scars from other people. Other people that hurt us. Other people that betray us. Other people that backstab us. Other people that treat us bad. Other people who abuse us. And we have these scars that are uninvited. But you got to understand and have a resolve that God is with you no matter what. You have to decide that up front. Hey, I know God's with me, so whatever happens in my life, then I'm going to be okay. You can't take what people has done to you and blame it on God. And I am so tired of that happening. So many people, something happens in their life bad, and they blame it on God. You know, when it's not God's fault. God didn't do that. Like I said, we have a free choice. Somebody did that to you. I don't even like the word church hurt, because really there ain't no such thing as people hurt. People in the church hurt you. It wasn't the church. The church didn't do it as a whole. If everybody came together and hurt you, that's one thing. But that's not how it is. Typically, it's an individual. Somebody hurts you. You know? But the thing is when that happens, they're like, well, somebody hurt me. Somebody said something to me cross-eyed, so I'm going somewhere else. But You know, at school people do that. At work people do that. Everywhere we're at people do that. But we don't choose to leave there. But for some reason when we come to church, we want to blame God and people and then leave and never come back. But thank God we don't have a lot of that here, because we have a lot of love, compassion, and forgiveness around here. So I'm so excited about that. And we love people here at Kingdom Impact. In Genesis chapter 3, I mean 4, chapter 4, verses 3 through 8, Cain developed a root of bitterness in him, because God said, you know, give your first fruits. And Cain did not like that Abel's fruits was accepted and his was not. And so he had a little bit of resentment and bitterness that grew in him. Matter of fact, in chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, it says, God looked at Cain and says, "Why are you so angry?" the Lord asked Cain. "Why do you look so dejected? You'll be accepted if you do what's right. But if you refuse to do what's right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you. But you must subdue it and be its master." See, Abel did what he said. "Here's my first fruit." Cain went and just got some of his good stuff and gave it to him and tried to make it feel like that's a... Now it's not the same thing. It was his first fruit he was a gift, and Cain didn't do that. So he got mad at Abel for doing the right thing. You ever done something? You ever done the right thing and somebody got mad at you for doing what was right because they didn't do what was right? Is that, you know, like if you just would have done, just like Jesus, God said, if you would have done what was right, you'd be accepted too. You're fine. But you didn't. And it says when you don't do what's right, sin is crouching at your door, ready to pounce on you, ready and eager to get you. And you must subdue it, conquer it, and then you must master it. In Genesis chapter 39, we talked about Joseph a while ago. He was taken to Egypt. In verse 2, it says the Lord was with Joseph and he succeeded. Everybody was coming against him. And even though everybody was coming against him, he constantly succeeded in every area of his life. Every time somebody brought him down, God raised him up. Every time somebody brought him down, God raised him up. You know, and one of the things that helped that was Joseph's outlook on other people. He looked at other people. He looked outward, not inward. Matter of fact, in Genesis 46 and 7, it says, when Joseph saw them the next morning, he noticed that they both looked upset. This is whenever Joseph was in prison. You know, he was in prison, and there was a cupbearer and a baker there. I don't know why a cupbearer and a baker were in prison. But it said when I went back and read it, it says that they had offended the royal officer, and that's why they were there. They did something. The cupbearer and the baker offended the royal officer, so they were there. But they were down and out and discouraged. And Joseph looked at him and said, "Why do you look so worried today?" he asked him. See, it's really good a lot of times for us to care about somebody else. We're so engulfed and infused in our own pain that we don't take time to look out somewhere else. And if you really want to help your own pain, reach out and start helping somebody else and realize that other people have issues too. And we have that in helping look at somebody and say, "Hey, how are you doing? You look down today. You look upset. You don't seem yourself." You know, and we need to ask that and talk to someone and care about that. And then the next thing that he did was he served them. After he did that, he saw that, he served them. And Joseph decided that he wasn't going to be bitter anymore about what went on. He wasn't going to be angry, that he wanted to serve them. Now, I'll tell you what, that's a whole nother HNL, whole nother level, right? And so to forgive somebody is one thing, right? To forgive somebody is one thing. But then to serve that person, oh man, that's hard. You know what I'm saying? Okay, I can forgive somebody, but then to go back and try to serve them, man, that's just tough, isn't it? That's just super tough. But you know, but the thing is after you forgive them, you ain't got to go be BFFs with them. You ain't got to go hang out with them and go on dates and talk to them and go to their house and eat supper. But what that's talking about, when it's talking about serve those, you know, that despitefully use you and love them and care for them, what it's talking about is if they come to you truly and you've forgiven them, and let's just say Bruce has done me incredibly wrong, and he come to me and said, "Doug, I know I did you wrong. I'm so sorry. But man, I really need your help. I need your help spiritually," or whatever it may be. For us to be able to say, "You know what? Yes, I did forgive you. You did do me wrong. But you know what? I'm a Christian. You're in pain. And I want to help you." And we've got to get to that place where we can do that. Now, some of us are not there yet, right? We're still working on the forgiveness part. And well, thank God, I've really, really done well, and God's really helped me. I don't feel like there's anybody that I have forgiveness towards anymore. If there is, Lord, please show me so I can work on that. But I've really overcome it. But it's taken a long, long time for that. It didn't happen overnight. A lot of blood, sweat, and tears, and pain, and turmoil. In Genesis 50:20, it says, "Don't you see? You planned evil against me, but God used those same plans for my good, and He will see, and you see all around you right now life for many people." So He took that pain and He turned it into them looking, Him looking outwardly and giving life to people. So He took all that pain that He used, increased His oil in His life, the anointing, and then allowed Him to use it for His good, for Him to do that. And when that happens, we got to trust God, because whenever that happens, we got to say, "God, You've got the blueprints of my life. Where am I lacking at?" That's what we need to ask God. "God, where am I? You got a blueprint." So He pulls out a blueprint, symbolically. He's looking at it, and He's looking at you, at your blueprint, and He says, "There's a storm coming, Doug. This bulkhead, this wall over here, you know, we need to reinforce that a little bit." "Okay, God, I need to work on that." "Okay. You know, hey, there's a flood coming and your foundation's a little weak. We need to work on your foundation. You know, there's a thief coming and, you know, we got to work on some protection. There's some areas of your life that you need to protect and not let the guard down. You know, there's a fire coming, you know, so you need to be careful and work on your fear and know that there's a fire coming and that I'm going to be the fourth man in the fire and you do not have to fear." So the thing is, you know, and I've dealt with these in my life before. My first divorce, after I was betrayed by my wife, was it God? Was it Scripture that got me through the initial part? I'm going to be dead point honest with you. No, it was not. It was not God. It was not Scripture, because I didn't care much about talking to God, and I didn't want to read Scripture, and I didn't want to pray. I was so hurt and broken. But you know what did get me through? It was family and friends that genuinely loved me. So sometimes when people are going through and when you're talking to someone that's hurting so bad, don't go preaching to them. Go to them, just be there and love on them. And that love helped me melt the wax hard heart I had because of the situation and allowed me to get to the place where I could hear God and I could read and pray and do these things. So when you're talking to somebody and they're really hurt, you know, you can encourage them in the Lord. You can read a few scriptures to them, but don't go beat them down. I'm telling you, just love on them. That time will come. You'll be able to share that stuff with them. But in the meantime, take time and just love on them and care for them and just love, 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 because the love conquers all, right? And my bestie stood by me when I was in the military, and I stood up for my friend, and he was a black friend of mine, and it was a big racism incident, and I stood up for him. And all kind of stuff. I was getting out of the military in about 3 or 6 months, and they told me, "Don't do this. You're getting ready to leave. You're going to cause a big stink." And I said, "I got to stand up for my friend. My friend's going to be here when I'm gone, and I'm not going to stand up for the way y'all treat him, and he's terrified right now, and I'm going to report it." And I reported it, and all kind of, it blew up. But when I got home, and then they came after me. Once I was out of the military, they still came after me because of what I did. And I got some letters that said, "Hey, they're out to get you now because of what you did." And so, but the thing is what happened? My family and my friends, my church family, crowded around me and loved on me and just cared for me and said, "It's going to be okay." Whenever I had situations in churches that I was hurt by leadership and stuff like that, what happened? I wasn't able at that time to go pray and read my Bible. What happened was my family and my wife, my kids, they would love on me and help me and care for me. That's what I'm saying. So when your family members are hurting, yes, share Christ with them. Share love with them. Share Scripture with them. But just love on them. And the more you love on them, I had one friend that his wife died. And they were as a young guy. He was in his late 40s. And it's funny how the older you get, young is kind of goes up, right? But he was in his late 40s. And his wife died, of cancer, and he was absolutely crushed. And he said, "Doug, you know what got me through it?" And I said, "What?" He said, "A Christian comedian." He said, "It wasn't Bible and it wasn't Scripture. It wasn't." He said, "It was a Christian comedian that just made me laugh. It just made me laugh." He said, "And that laughing brought a little bit of joy back to my heart, to where I could really seek God the way I needed to." But Pastor, you always got to seek God first. Yes. But sometimes the pain's so hard that your mind and you're just all messed up and you're discombobulated. And you're just like, ah, and you don't want to pray. You don't want to read your Bible. Let's be real. Let's all act like we're super Christians where we just walk around all holy, hop, 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 all the time. Pain hurts. People hurt. And when that happens, what do? You find somebody that loves you. You find somebody that cares. Put on some worship music. Maybe that'll help you. You know, maybe it's a situation where you need to put on a Christian comedian and just laugh a little bit. Whatever. You know, maybe you need to make somebody laugh. Or somebody needs to make you laugh if you're the one hurting. But that's how it is. You know, so we got to understand that. And that time's coming. God's coming. They're a Christian, hopefully they are Christian. They're a Christian. They just need some time for God to allow that wall to drop because they're so hurt. So how do you do that? Well, first off, you got to admit that you are hurt. Number one, you admit my hurt. Because if you hold on to that grief and you hold on to that pain, I'm 1,000,000% sure that when you put it down, it's like a Coke bottle. You shake it up enough and pop the top, it's going to explode. And 10 times out of 10, you're going to explode on somebody probably that you love that don't deserve it. It wasn't their fault. They had nothing to do with it. And so you got to be careful. So when it happens, you've got to admit, hey, I am wrong. And when you do that, you need to admit it to God, to yourself, admit it to God, and admit it to one other person. Because admit it to God, confess your faults to God, and then Scripture says confess your faults to one another, and say, look here, man, hey, somebody that you trust, somebody you, if you can't come to me, we'll have a meeting, and you can talk to me about it, it'll be private. But say, hey, man, I'm so hurt, this person hurt me. This person, these people, they hurt me. They did this to me. You know, whatever. You know, and I can't hold on to this grief. People say that, well, time heals everything. No, it don't. Time doesn't heal cancer. Time doesn't heal you losing your spouse or your family or your child. Time doesn't heal that. Does it get somewhat more manageable? Yes. But does it heal it? No. There's always a somewhat open wound right there because of that. God can come and bring that salve and help you and bring joy back into your heart, but it still hurts. So that's just not true about time healing it. And you know, and so when David was, if you read Psalms, you'll see David talk, and the more he talked about something, the more angry he got, right? You know, until finally he changed his concept and thought process and started looking and thinking about God, and then it started getting better, right? So what do I say all the time? Y'all know what it is. What you focus on, you fuel. That's a great example. Peter talked about it. David talked about it, and he talked about it, and it made him more mad, and then he changed his focus. Talked about God, and then all of a sudden it fueled that, and he became free and trusted God again, right? Some people clam up, some people explode, and you got to understand how to do it healthy. Some people are tired all the time. Wounds and being hurt can make you tired all the time. It can exhaust you. You're tired. You're sick and tired of being sick and tired. You feel like you're all the time sick. You're always tired. You're always going through this. And a lot of times, sometimes it's not nothing medical. Sometimes it is legit pain and hurt in your life that is causing you turmoil, especially digestive issues and mental issues. A lot of times it ain't got nothing to do with nothing but just pain and hurt and trauma in your life. I'm not a doctor, so don't go tell a doctor, Pastor Doe said, I ain't got nothing to do. I ain't taking that medicine. Okay? But we feel weak all the time. Holding on to emotions hurt. It's painful. Some try to escape the pain. Some try to avoid the pain. And that's just not going to happen. I know. I remember when I got divorced, I told you about that earlier, and I was betrayed. And you know, what the first thing I did, I went out and tried to date every woman I could. I worked with my dad out in the school system. And every teacher that came, I was like, hey, what's your name? I went out with a couple of them, you know. And I was trying my best. I was like, I was married. I'm used to being married. I'm used to being in a relationship. I got to be in a relationship. And so, then what happened one day is God's like, you need me. You've got to get with me. And so I said, okay, God, well, let's try that. So I restored my relationship with God the way it needed to be because I was so hurt from that. And then all of a sudden, I was feeling really good. And then I got reconnected with Gina. I say reconnected with Gina because I dated her when I was like 16 years old. So, but then she came back in my life, right? And I saw her in that way. And when I did that, I was like, no, God, that's really cool. I mean, I'm cool with just me and you now. And God's like, no, because you're cool with me and you now, now you can have her. Before, if you'd have had her, you'd have got hurt again in your own mind because you weren't healed. So some people use medication. legal medication and illegal medication to try to deal with the pain, to numb the pain. Some people fill their mind with TV and music. I'm one of them. I ain't gonna lie to you. When I get real stressed, I love to go watch reality shows where they fuss and fight and like watch UFC, watch them hit each other real hard, you know, and choke each other out. I love that because it's their drama. It's their fight. It's not mine. I'm not lying to you. Watch Survivor. Watch them bicker and fight. Watch The Bachelor. Oh, that's crazy mess, man. Because what happens is I'm able to escape my own stress, and I'm watching their stress, and it gives me a break in my mind. Okay, and so I love it. But you know, some people just go into their hobbies, whatever their hobbies are. Some people they just get engulfed in sports. Some people get engulfed in self pleasure. And we leave that there. Some people will stay so busy they'll wear themselves out. They're just busy, and they just work late till they just come home and they just fall into bed because they don't want to just lay in the bed, because if they just lay in the bed, they're gonna think about things. So they work till they just can't work no more, and then they just fall into bed, get up and do it the next day. So you got to reveal your pain to yourself, to God, and to at least one other person. And share with him how you feel. Don't sugarcoat it when you talk to God. Like I said, you can tell God whatever you want. Just do it with respect. And be honest with him. And it will cleanse you. That's how you're going to get help. And you got to share those things. Share that secret. Because you are sick as your secrets. The secrets that you have are going to cause sickness in you. You got to share that thing that embarrasses you, that thing that you resent, that thing that is making you bitter, that thing that you're holding on to. Share that stuff. And then number two, release those who have hurt you. You've got to release it and let it go. When you don't release it, bitterness and resentment is a foothold. And I promise you, if you allow the enemy you don't get rid of that bitterness and resentment in there, then unforgiveness is definitely coming. And it's a foothold. Because you can, you know, but you don't know what they did to me, Pastor. Listen, you can get well or you can get even, but you can't do both. And if you get even, you have a moment of exhilaration, a moment of excitement, a moment of you know, all of your anxiety getting out. But then after that's over and you come back down off of your high from your whatever you did or said, you know, blowing them out, doing something, getting a fight with them, all of a sudden you come back and then all of a sudden the pain's still there. So why not just get well and allow God to handle it? You just can't do both. The only way to get rid of pain and emotional unforgiveness is to give it to God and let God handle it. None of us deserves forgiveness. You don't deserve forgiveness. I don't deserve it. Because the penalty, the wages of sin is death. We all sin. We deserve death. But God says, I forgive you. So we need to forgive others. He says, if you can't forgive others, I can't forgive you. Now, forgiveness has nothing to do with fairness or being deserved. When you forgive somebody, it doesn't mean that it's fair to forgive them. It does not mean that they deserve to forgive them. It does not mean that what they did was not evil. It does not mean that what they did not hurt you deeply. But what it means is I will not allow you to control me any longer. Because you're like, well, they're not controlling me. That's all you think about. That's all you think. You can't sleep. You think about it all the time. When you see their name, when someone says their name, when you see them, you get a little tick. Oh, there they are. You know? And it's just all of a sudden your fists ball up, you know? And so the thing is, you got to let that go because it is controlling you. And when you give it to God, you're saying, God, you handle this. Well, look, so-and-so died and God never handled it. After death, then the judgment. God will handle it one way or the other, whether here on earth or in heaven. He will handle it, and he will deal with it. So we got to trust God. If you saw Jesus die, if you saw the passion of the cross, and you saw Jesus being beat mercilessly, and you saw, I want you to understand, those deep wounds all the way down to his bones at times and his organs, those were not the deepest wounds. The deepest wounds that Jesus had was betrayal, rejection, hatred from them, humiliation, their prejudice. Those were the deep wounds he had. The wounds you didn't see that he went through. He understands the pain you're going through with that betrayal and rejection and stuff. 1 Peter 2:23, it says, he did not retaliate when he was insulted, nor threaten revenge when he suffered. Listen to this. This is beautiful. Use the scripture for you and for others. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. Because if I try to get retribution, I ain't going to be fair about it. I'm going to go over the edge, right? You're right? I'm going to do a little extra, right, just for good measure. But God knows exactly how to handle situations. But even Jesus, the Son of God, the S-O-G, did not blow them away when he could. He left it to the Father. So why should we forgive others? Because you have been forgiven by God. And you will need more forgiveness in the future. And if you need more forgiveness, you better have already been able to forgive. You're only hurting yourself with resentment and holding on to that bitterness. The resentment hurts those around you also. Because if you're angry and you're an angry dad, you're going to have angry children. If you're an anxious mom, you're probably going to have anxious children. And so it's not, you think, well, it's me. I'm the one. No. It affects everybody around you. And we feel like they're oblivious to it, but no, they know. They can see. And if all they grew up in is this hostile house where, you know, then it's going to turn over into their house. Some of you have been hurt in prior relationships. And you've had past relationships where you were hurt and abused, and you're taking it out now on your present relationship. Whether you're dating or you're married, I don't know what it is. I'm just saying that we're hurt in the past, and if we're not healed by that hurt and pain from our last marriage or last relationship, when we go in our next relationship, we'll take it out on that person and treat them differently and disrespectfully. Bitterness can be passed down from generation to generation. Because what you resent, you will eventually resemble. You know, but what happens? You know, we'll watch television, and the commercial, I always fast forward through the commercials, but sometimes they have them little paid ones that you can't get across sometimes. You know, and it'll show like, you know, the Exorcist or Satan or, you know, kind of stuff like that. Gina's like, turn it. And I was like, we need to watch that, honey, messing with it. Turn it. Right? So she don't like that. There's something that she don't like. So she's like, I don't want to see that. I'm turning the page. Why can't we do that in our life? There's pain, I'm anger, I'm mad. I don't like this, I need to turn that. I need to turn the page, I need to turn the channel and start refocusing. What you focus on, you fuel. I don't want to focus on this, I'm going to focus on God right now. We do it on the television. Oh, I don't want to watch this, I'll turn it to another channel. Then when the devil's messing with your mind, that's my very next point. Replace old mental videos with God's truth. The devil wants you to replay what they did to you over and over and over. Look what they did. I can't believe. And just focus on it and fuel on it. And he wants you to play that. You got to replace that with God's truth. And of the good things that God, start thinking about the good things God did for you. How he got you out of other situations. How he's blessed you in other situations. You know, because your conscience does not know what's real and not real. What do you mean by that? Well, that's why you can watch a television program and cry. Because it's not real, but your subconscious don't know that it's not real. You're watching something, and your subconscious thinks, oh, that's sweet, and you start crying. Right? And so that's our subconscious don't know that. That's why you can watch that movie and cry. But some people have said that you don't measure up. Some people say you're not good enough. Some people say that you're not athletic enough. You're too fat. You're too skinny. You're too weak. You're too ugly. You're not going to make it. You're not worth anything. Look at your past. You'll never be nobody. You'll never change the way you should. That's a lie. Okay? Because God says, Ephesians 2:10, you are my masterpiece. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are more than a conqueror. So quit playing and listening. Because here's what's happening. The reason it bothers you so much they said that is because probably that person that said that to you, you looked up to. We tend to, when we look up to somebody and they say something negative about us, we believe it. Because we look up to them. If some idiot out here in the street tells you that, you're like, okay, whatever. Bye-bye. You know, you're done, son. It's over. No. But if someone that we love says that, it must be true because I thought they loved me. That's not true. Why don't you look up to someone that loves you more than they do and look to God and say, look what God says about me. I don't care what they said about me. It's not true. It's a lie. And we got to help God helped me get rid of the memories of the hurt, the pain, the rejection, the guilt, the shame. And God, fill me my mind with the Word of God and with worship and with praise and adoration for you. And the more you do that, the more it pushes all the other garbage out. God says you are lovable. God says you are special. And God says they hurt you, but I never will. If you'll just trust me and listen to what I tell you, I can help you through this process. Number four, refocus on the future. That's what you fuel. Stop reliving the past. Stop looking back into the past. Stop going back and reliving it and thinking about what you did wrong and focusing on that and just allowing. Sometimes we feel like we've done wrong. We want pain. We want to feel pain when we've done wrong. And so we go back and relive it to recreate that pain because we think we deserve it. You got to understand, whenever people talk to you and say that kind of stuff to you about who you are, you got to understand their opinion of you is irrelevant. And their opinion of you is only their opinion. What God says about you is fact. Why are you going to believe opinion over fact? Who would do that? You just come on up. Forgot to call you up earlier. I guess I was involved in that. I didn't, forgot to tell you to come. But I just feel like that. Excuse me one moment. Excuse me. I just feel like that God was telling me that I talk about forgiveness a lot during the year just because everybody deals with it. And then after you get over it, something new happens. You're like, well, this is different than last time. This is worse. So all of a sudden it recreates. But I just really felt like God was saying you got a lot of people that are dealing with pain. Pain. People hurting them. Situations hurting them. Circumstances hurt them. They feel that nobody cares. They feel like they're in it all alone. They've really been hurt by a situation or a circumstance. They really feel like they can't get through this. And they really feel like they're bad people because right now they don't feel like reading their Bible and praying. I love them anyway. They'll get to that. What they need is somebody to love them. And nobody can love you the way they need to with the extra love they need to give you if you don't tell nobody you're hurting. I'm all the time saying, I can't fix anything in this church that I don't know about. If anybody's ever left this church and I just said that, I was like, well, and one person left, they told me, and I said, well, that was an easy fix. You didn't have to leave, because if you'd have told me that, I could have fixed that like that. But I didn't know about it. Now you're gone. So you need to share it with somebody. You need to share it with God. God knows it, but God wants you to tell him about it. God wants you to share it with him. God wants you to talk to him about it. And you can be healed. Now, you're going to have a scar that will remind you, but let that scar be a scar that you look at and say, look what God did. That right there don't hurt no more. Jason, you had surgery recently. And you know how, even though it's scarred and they pull the stitches out, you can touch it and it's still tender in it. And if you start, I didn't even say this earlier, I meant to say it, but if you know when it starts scabbing up, you know what you can do, some of you do? After it's scabbing up, God's trying to heal it, you pick at the scab. And what does it start to do? It starts to bleed. And then it's got to re-heal again. Quit picking at the scab that God's trying to heal. You're just making it worse. If you pick at it enough, do you know that you can make the scar worse? Man, I feel God's presence in here. He wants to heal somebody that they have hurt and pain. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Heal your people, Lord. Pain is so prevalent in this world, Jesus, and there's so many people. Got pain from childhood that they're still dealing with. They're not letting it go. They're dealing with bitterness at somebody because they're just so frustrated and letting bitterness and anger and resentment just control their life, God. hurting them, not hurting nobody else but them. You've got so much you want to do in their lives, but they got so much they're holding on to. Although that's why you say, cast your cares upon me, for I care for you. Because you want us to cast our cares on you, so you can take care of it and you can handle that. God, give me and give us a sensitive spirit and a discerning spirit that when we're around people, even though they have a smile on their face, help us to recognize something in their spirit's not right and ask them, are you okay? That we can ask them so we can share with them and love on them and help them. And God, time does not heal everything. But thank you for your comforting Holy Spirit that comforts us during those times that we still feel that pain from the past. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you have some pain and hurt in your life, and you want to come here to the altar and just come down here and give it to God. It's just a step of faith. You're just stepping out saying, God, I'm giving it to you. So it's a physical representation of what you're doing in your spirit. You're like, I'm tired of carrying this pain around. I'm tired of carrying this hurt around. And I'm tired of hurting other people because of my pain. You want to come down here and let me pray with you. And let people come behind you and put their hand on you and show you love. And let God do a work in your life. I invite you now to do that. Would you come? Don't let that pain. Don't let your courage be less than that pain. Have more courage than you do pain. So you can come down here. And let me pray with you.